You can follow today's outline, please, in your bulletin. And there are going to be some scripture verses that we're not going to go into today, but you can freely look at those as well when we're done with this message today. And the title of today's message is, What is Your Mission? And before we begin, I wanted to give a little testimony pertaining to a gentleman that is my neighbor and has been for 15 years. I think it's appropriate to start with his testimony because it kind of relates to what Russ was talking about this morning as well with the blessings that we have and how we can be used in any situation at any time, at any place. But I have a neighbor, and I've known him for 15 years, and when we moved into that area, we didn't really know this gentleman too much, and he was a very private man, so we didn't have much conversation. There was a fence between our properties, so I would see him, and I would say hi, and that was about it for many, many years, but that just went on that way. He's a very learned man. He has his doctorate in theology. After he got his doctorate in theology, he went on to become a very well-known teacher just west of here, and he did that until he retired. And he retired in his late 60s. And after retirement, he became very active working on his little farmette. He was out there every day, 10 hours a day working for many, many years doing that. And he worked all the time outside. That was his love outside of the Lord and outside of teaching. It was working outside. So after his day of working, he would go in the house and he would study the scriptures, and his main interest was Bible prophecy. And that was something that we had a bond in. So we eventually would sit on either side of our fence and we would talk about the things going on in the world and then how does that relate to Bible prophecy. So we became quite close in that area. There was a bond there that was almost unbreakable. Now this man has just become very, very ill. And I've been visiting him at his home, and I recently visited him at the hospital. And when I went to see him in the hospital just about a week and a half ago, he was taken in by emergency, and he was laying there in the bed. And I walked in, and I don't want this to sound real strange or anything, but there was a radiance. There was a glow. There was a glow about this man. And I looked at him and I said, "There's something different about you, Marshall." And he said, "Bob, I need to share this with you." He says, "I am so excited to talk to anyone that comes into my room to visit me, whether it's a doctor or a nurse, if it's a CNA, if it's a visitor. I can't wait to tell them about the Lord. And I've never done this before. I've never had this urge to talk to him about Jesus." And I could see the smile and the joy in his heart. And it just blessed me so to see this man of 86 years old now become an evangelist rather than a teacher so much. He said, "I believe this is my mission, to reach anyone that comes into this room." So his concern about outside projects and things became all temporal at this point. Everything now is about the souls of people that come into that room. So I want to ask you today, before we begin, this is going to be a little bit of a different message today. I'm not going to go through a lot of scripture, but we're going to use one Bible verse today. And I hope it blesses you, and I hope you're challenged. And I believe by the direction of the Holy Spirit, it's been placed in my heart to challenge every one of us in this room and anyone that may be listening to me and myself to be challenged. What is your mission? What is your purpose? How does God want you to finish the race in this life? And what gifts has He given you in your heart that you can glorify Him with? So again, this is going to be more of a topical message today. And I would like to start with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And Father, I pray today, Father, I just pray right now for everyone here today. I pray for anyone that may be listening, Lord, that this would be a Bible challenge, Lord, that this would be a challenge to go forth in the name of Jesus and to know what our mission is, Lord. You've given us breath. You've given us life. You've given us encouragement through your Holy Spirit. I pray it will go out today, Father, and it will be a blessing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So our message today is called, What is Our Mission? And it's going to be coming from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now what I'd like to do is throw a picture up on here, and I'm going to just throw this out to you folks and ask you, do you know who that might be depicting? Anybody?
David.
King David. Now here we are, and does anybody know who the sculptor of that was?
Michelangelo,
very good. You get all get A's for that. Okay, so it's interesting that Michelangelo made that sculpture in 1501 A.D. And King David lived 2,500 years earlier. So how does he know what he looked like? Have you ever asked yourself that question? So we don't know definitely when we get to heaven, is that what he looks like? But in 1 Samuel 16:12. It says, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. That's really all we know about King David. But it's interesting that Michelangelo made that sculpture, and we see that all over the place. I bring that up because that's going to be leading to our 3 points that we have in this message this morning. So we see here in 1501 he made that sculpture, but in 1508 Michelangelo also painted the Sistine Chapel in Italy, and he went on to be known as the most famous artist and painter in the world to this day, as a matter of fact. And the Sistine Chapel depicted the scene from the creation of man to Noah's flood. So many of you have seen that painting, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But Michelangelo had many famous quotes. And I picked three of them today to use as our 3 points. And I'm going to put those up there for you right now so we can look at his three quotes that I picked here. Every block of stone has a statue inside it, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. Isn't that wonderful? Number two, there is no greater harm than that of time wasted. And finally, number three, the greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark. Isn't that something? Okay, so what would I like us all to do, if you would? We're going to stand together. And we're going to read Philippians 1:6. We're just going to look at the one verse today. And I'd like us to stand and say it together as a congregation. In reverence to God's word. This is Paul speaking. So let's begin. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Please stay standing for a second. That was very good. But it says, being confident of this very thing. So I'd like us to do it one more time with a little more confidence. Because this is talking about us, about you. Paul is telling us to take the very good work that God has begun, and God will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's begin again. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Excellent. Thank you. You may be seated. So Paul is saying, first of all, be confident. Being confident. We're to be confident. We're not to be arrogant. We're not to be prideful. We're not to be overzealous. But confident. And there's nothing wrong with being confident. But what does he say? Being confident in what? And Paul says here, of this very thing. So what thing is he talking about? that he who began a good work in you, in me, in you, this is what the Lord has done. He's begun a good work in us. That is the work of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that immediately leads from salvation to sanctification, which is growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good work that he has given to us freely to each and every one of us. And I want, if we go back to the first quote here from Michelangelo, every block of stone has a statue inside of it. It is the task of the sculptor to discover it. So our first point is discover your gifts that God has given you. When we become a child of the living God through Jesus, do you know how the Lord sees you? If you are his child by grace, then inside of each and every one of you is a masterpiece, or if you might want to say a precious jewel. And it's a precious jewel that's refined all the way up to the day of Jesus Christ. So when will that day come? When will that day of Jesus Christ come? That day of Jesus Christ will either come in the rapture or it will come upon physical death. And 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 talks about that great day of the rapture. And I'm going to just read 4:16 to give you an idea of what the day of Jesus Christ is. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. That is our eternal, our blessed hope. And we know that he who began a good work in you, in me, will be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's going to continue to work on us, regardless of our age, in our sanctification process. This is what Paul was saying in that verse. Michelangelo said it is up to the sculptor to discover this masterpiece, and I think it's a great principle to follow. If we don't discover the gifts that lie within us, we remain dormant. And that's the danger of not using the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. We run the risk of not being used for the Lord, for his glory. So what are your gifts? Have you thought about that? Have you ever gone through and said, what are my gifts? And I hope you're thinking about that. I hope you're being challenged right now as I'm talking about this. Now, you know what your gifts are. Whether you express it or not, you know what they are, because God has given you the gift of discernment if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The reason why I know that you know that you have these gifts, that you know what your gifts are, is because you know what the qualities of our Savior are. So the qualities, some of the qualities that we know, that he's patient, that he is kind, he is trustworthy, he is just, Jesus is true, and he's slow to anger. These are the qualities of Jesus. So what we are to imitate Jesus. And in Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, Philippians 2, 5, and 1 Corinthians 4, 16 talk exactly about imitating Jesus. So these are the things that we are supposed to be doing with the gifts that he's given to us. Now in your bulletin, I did put down some extra verses you can look up at your discretion. I studied them and meditated on them this morning, and they're wonderful. I did not think we might have the time to go through them all, but I did include them in your bulletin. And we are to imitate Jesus' love. That's one of our gifts. If we know the Lord is our Savior, we have the love of God in our heart. And that's John 13:34 and 1 John 4:19. Ephesians 5:2 talk all about that. Secondly, we're to be humble. In Philippians 2:3, Matthew 23:12, and James 4:10 talk about being humble. It's the opposite of being proud. or having pride, I should say. Jesus was a servant, and we are to be a servant. In Mark 10:45, Galatians 5:13 talks about Jesus being a servant and how we are to imitate that servanthood. He was also all forgiving. Jesus is all forgiving. We're to be all forgiving. Matthew 6:14 to 15, Colossians 3:13, Ephesians 4:32. Now Jesus also spread the good news. And I might say he spread the great news, the greatest news of all. And that good news comes from 1 Peter 3:15. And he says here, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And that's what we need to be prepared for every single time. And I think, Russ, you even mentioned it on your fishing trip with the other people you went with. You always need to be ready to give an account for the hope that lies from within you. And this is what we use our special gifts that God has given us for. Now, I can look around this congregation, and I do many, many times in my, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I think about every one of you. I thank you, Russ, for this, because this is why you just sparked me to do it. I've been doing it ever since months ago when you mentioned it. I go around every single seat, and I think of every one of you, every single one of you. And when I look at this congregation and I see the gifts that every one of you has, you have special, special gifts. And I hope you realize that. I hope you see that. Because there's so much compassion and love and tenderness. There's a lot of knowledge. There's discernment. There's hospitality. And it's all because of what Christ has done in you. It's that precious sculpture that is inside of you. It's the masterpiece that Jesus has created in you. That's who you are in Christ. And I hope you see those gifts, because that when you look in the mirror, I'm going to read you a verse here out of James, because he warns us to be careful. It says here, James says in the book of James, it says, James warns us about not doing what Christ wants of us. It's easy to look in the mirror and not see who we really are in Christ. We see a body that's changing day by day, but the reality is that inside of us, the eternal Holy Spirit of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it says here in James, it might be 1:23 or 4:23. Sorry about that, but it's verse 23. "For if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and then gone away, he has immediately forgotten for what person he is." Think about that for a second. I've read that verse many times in the past, and I couldn't understand it, but then the more I read it, the more that God gave me the gift of discernment to realize what that verse meant. Now, there's a book that I've read twice already, and it's a great book. I'm just going to mention it. It's a book by Patrick Morley called The Man in the Mirror. And I got a couple of key points I just want to point out to you, but he emphasizes on solving the 24 problems that men face. He explores the core challenges that men encounter and offers practical solutions rooted in the Christian faith. But Morley emphasizes introspection and spiritual growth as the keys to overcoming life struggles and achieving a fulfilling life. The first point he talks about is the rat race. And he says, what's the purpose of our life? What is the purpose of our life? He says, understanding one's purpose beyond material wealth. It's not all about material wealth. It's about our spiritual wealth, really, is what it is. He talks about the standard of living, balancing material success with moral and spiritual and relational well-being. Or consumerism, the dangers of consumerism and the importance of contentment. Then he says, leading an unexamined life. He talks about self-examination. Be careful that we check our inner self versus our outer self, and understanding the distinction between the visible and the true self. And then one of his quotes, or two of his quotes, are really good, I thought. The first one is, the life which is unexamined is not even worth living. And we are who we are in our minds first before we speak or act. And then he talks about biblical Christian or cultural Christianity. And he says here, the man in the mirror will never change until he is willing to see himself as he really is. I won't go any more with any more points, but it's an excellent book. I would highly recommend it. It's been out since 1973, and he's just done a revised edition. But it's a good one, just to reemphasize that James passage. Now, the gifts that we have inside of us, this precious jewel, this masterpiece, comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks, I'm sorry, there it is, 1:23. Now we got that. I'm one slide behind. Sorry about that. Well, it's 1:23 to 24 is the one about James and looking in the mirror. Okay, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So to recap on point number one about discovering your gifts, you and I were all at one time a piece of stone. That's all we were. But God saved us. And he developed in us this beautiful, precious jewel, this masterpiece. And we discover that masterpiece after we know that we're saved, because we know that we're in Christ and we have work to do for him. The Lord shows us as his vessel to give us new life. And we discover that there's something inside of us that's far better than we could ever possibly imagine. And it's only by the Holy Spirit's power that we can see that. In our own flesh, we'll never see that. But by the Holy Spirit's power, we will see that. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God is also at work in us. Philippians 3:12-14, for it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And then Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. So God is at work in each and every one of us. Discover our gifts. That's point number one. Point number two. There is no greater harm than of time wasted. Point number two is redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16. So then be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now there's an article I have here, a real short one, by Silas Shotwell. He was an evangelist, and he wrote an article in 1987, and it's about Charles Francis Adams. And Charles Francis Adams was the son of John Quincy Adams, our early on president in the United States. Charles Francis Adams, the 19th century political figure and diplomat, kept a diary. One day he entered, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. And on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. The father thought he was wasting his time while fishing with his son, but his son saw it as an investment of time. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know one's ultimate purpose in life and to judge accordingly. So I hope you're all challenged by this. Because I know I can make more of my time. I know there's a lot of time that I waste, and I should not do that. But God's not finished with me, and He's not finished with you. I hope you know that. We have more work to do for Him. We have more work to do through Him. And it's because of Him who saved us. We can pray, always pray for more opportunities to ask the Lord to be used for His glory. And then exercise the gifts that He's given to us. Can you imagine Michelangelo taking 4 years to paint over 400 larger-than-life figures on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? And after he was finished, some people came up and asked him, why are you spending so much time painting all these figures up in a dark corner that no one will ever see? His answer, God will see. God's going to see what we do. Point number three. The greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark. Attitude is everything, and I'm sure you've heard that before. Attitude is everything, and I firmly believe that, that attitude is everything in the Lord. And that's how we can be confident. If we have a good attitude, it's in the Lord. And then focus and dream big. There's nothing wrong with dreaming big as long as it's in the Lord. It says here, aim high with your mission. One of my favorite verses of all time has always been Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This powerful verse reminds us that with God's strength, we can reach our highest potential. We are empowered to aim high when we rely on Him. So some have said Michelangelo rarely got distracted, even so often that he forgot to take off his boots while he was working for weeks at a time. And that certainly wasn't good for his skin. And some people even went on to say that when he took his boots off, as a lot of times skin came off with the boots because he never took them off. But I want to also talk a little bit about, briefly about Pastor Doug, our former pastor here at this church for 34 years. And before he just transitioned up to the assisted living center, and I've asked him if I could say this, and he said, please do. I've been spending a lot of time, the past 3 years actually, I've been spending a lot of time over at his house helping him with different various things, but most of all his computer. And I was with him about a week before he left to transition up to the new place where he's living. And everything was discombobulated in the house. There were boxes all over the place, and his computer was having problems. So I got it back on. And he was walking around the room, and I said, is everything okay? And he came up to me out of the clear blue. And he said, Bob, what's my mission? What's my mission now? What does God have for me? And they said, Doug, we need to pray. So we prayed. As soon as we were done praying, Pastor Doug looked up at me and he said, I know what my mission is. I'm open for dial of prayer 24/7, and I want you to tell the congregation, tell anyone, they can call me day or night, and I will pray for them. Doug used to walk around at 4 o'clock in the morning around our subdivision every single day, and he'd pray over every single house, one by one by one. That's his mission. And many of you know his condition right now. He's getting a little bit older, like we all are. But he has a mission. You have a mission. I have a mission. We all have a mission. Doug is still aiming high with his mission. He can pray 24/7. He can still do that. And he wants to do that. So my question to everyone in here is, how are you going to finish the race? What's going to be your legacy for your family, for your friends, the people around you that you've had influence on, that you've loved or you've served for so many years? The first step is to discover your gifts, and if you haven't done so, It's never too late. It's never too late. As long as the Lord gives us breath and life, we can continue to search His will and identify the gifts that you can use to accomplish His will. And if anyone needs prayer for this, for wisdom and for God's will in your life, the elders are all available to pray. We can just say a short prayer with you. Not that our prayer is that much more important than anyone else's prayer, but we can encourage. We can encourage one another in prayer and ask the Lord to give you more discernment, more opportunity. Secondly, don't waste time when you discover your gifts. Redeem the time. Make your days count for the Lord, because today is the first day of the rest of your life. And then finally, do everything in Christ with a focus and a good attitude, and serve with dedication and conviction. Always be ready to give an account to anyone so they can see the hope that lies deep, deep within each and every one of you. Because you are the light of Christ. You may be the only person, you have to believe this, you may be the only person that you that you may have talked to some other person, and they may realize that you may be the only person that has ever talked to someone, and they may not realize just how important what you have to say is. That didn't come out right, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Thank you. I guess I can say it better by this. I want to give another short testimony. There was a family Bible that was in my sister's curio cabinet when we moved her. This will make my point, I think. We had a great-grandfather that was a pastor in Boston, Massachusetts. And he used to minister to the homeless people in Boston. And when we were moving my sister, there was a curio cabinet, and in there was a big family Bible. I took out the family Bible, I opened it up, and a piece of paper fell out. It was like onion skin. It was ready to fall apart. And I picked it up and I said to my sister, "Oh, Kathy, there's a letter in here." And she said, "Well, what does it say?" And as I picked it up, it almost disintegrated, and I read it. And when I read it, I was thinking, "Wow, this is absolutely amazing." And I'm going to read it to you. It's a real brief letter. It says, "Brother Cobley, dear sir, please accept this as a token of the attachment that I have for you for the great interest that you have taken for my soul's salvation. I can truly say that you have been the instrument in the hand of God of my happy conversion. I can say today that my love for you and the church and to God is sealed with the same love that this book that I present you with is, the blood of Christ. When you look upon those engravings, pray for me that my name may be engraved with yours in heaven, where I hope I shall meet you to part no more. And in after years, when you look upon this, it will call to mind the time when you labored hard for sinners and the conversion of my poor soul. I remain yours truly, D.H. Groves, Boston, January 30th, 1852. When we read that letter, I was amazed. I had sat in that family Bible for all of those years, and not anyone had taken the letter out and read it. But what a difference one person can make in someone else's life. And we don't know if that man was thinking about living or not living anymore, but he was definitely a man in great need. So you can make that difference. I know that Tony used to do that down in Kansas. He used to go and see people under the bridge, and it was amazing, but amazing story. But there's always opportunity for each and every one of us. So what is your mission? You may have given someone a Bible tract. You might have fed a homeless person. You may have given your time to someone that just needed a friend. Maybe a card of some kind. Maybe someone that was so down that they might have been contemplating ending their life, but they didn't. Because you were there exercising your gift that's deep down inside of you. Maybe you didn't feel like doing it. Maybe your flesh said, hey, this isn't going to be any worthwhile at all, but it was. Because the Holy Spirit allowed you to go and do that. You did it, not for yourself, you did it for the Lord. And only God knows how this works. We may never know. What it is important to note, though, is that we all have a mission. So we should never forget that we all have a mission. Never give up, even if your mind and your body tell you otherwise. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this verse, that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that is a promise for each and every one of us here, Father, today, that you are not finished with us. Your work on the cross is finished, but your work is not finished. And each one of us here, Father, as long as we have breath and life, we have work to do for you. Father, I just pray for anyone today, Father, that doesn't know this, that doesn't know the Holy Spirit, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Father, I thank you for all that you do, for all that you are, for all that you will do. We love you, praise you, honor you, glorify you. And Father, we give you all the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song. Dave Hall is going to come up and sing a Be Thou My Vision.